Yeah, sorry, I just saw the tweet you responded to Drinker, I think, directly. And he's right about brand damage, but then you see that Revenge of the Sith has made like what, $30 million?
I think it's like 20, but it's not insignificant.
No. For a re-release of a 20-year-old movie, whatever it is now.
See, but it's also a false comparison. You can't use that to say, "Oh, Star Wars is doing fine." It's like, "No, nostalgia for the prequels is doing fine. I saw that movie in fucking theaters 20 years ago. I don't need to do it again."
No, yeah, that's it. I'm speaking more to just Andor just sucking ass.
Yes. This is the internet's worst gaming podcast. I'm going to cut all that stuff out. I'm your host, Loki Jarson. Over there is Joe Stizzy. Hi, Stizzy.
Hi, Loki. That's me, Stizzy. You know, we used to have good banter here that you'd leave in, but that's fine. We got a lot to talk about.
We might be losing that banter if we can't figure out a way to do a recording. This is our last ever show using Skype. Every show except one. We've done one Discord show in the history of this dumb show over off and on for 10 years. We've used Skype, and Microsoft is basically sunsetting it to move into Microsoft Teams, which we tried the last time, and it sucks.
I gotta look into it more and Teams more, but I've been busy. I've been saying we're gonna switch full time to Discord, because Discord, I mean, it's a good app, but
we are probably the last people on earth who still use Skype.
Yeah, they were keeping it around just for us. Our problem is we don't know how to record both of our audios at the same time. Like this, yeah, the bot I had record, you know, each separate, but not together. So I still need to look into that. But I've been busy, but we're here today.
And I'm just fucking lazy. It's like, I just can't be bothered to like put any professionalism in this fucking podcast. It's like, I call it the internet's worst. That was not a joke. It's like, I'm gonna give you as clean an audio as I can. I guess I can. And that's what you're getting. You know, the commentary? Eh, who knows? The jokes? Eh, sometimes they don't land. Well, I'm not promising gold.
Shoot your shot. But I have been busy. But if I wanted to, I also could have. But I'm also fucking lazy like you, so. It's fine. We'll figure something out.
The internet's laziest podcast. Let's change the name. 10 years in. Yes. Speaking of really lazy, PlayStation. Do you currently have PS Plus? Because I don't right now.
I think I have a couple more months on it. I think it's going through August, but I'm done with it. I'm not subscribing to it anymore. It's just not worth it. Not worth the price.
Certainly not for the foreseeable future. And they're weird tiers of like, I can't remember what they're called. There's the base price, and then extra, and then
premium,
ultimate, extreme, premium. That's it. Thank you. It's kind of like Game Pass, but it doesn't just straight up doesn't have as many games. They do offer monthly stuff, and you know sometimes it's fairly recent stuff. So if you are subscribed to PS Plus, you know it probably might be worth it. They also have quite a few of their back catalog, the old PS3 games on there. Unfortunately, for some ass reason, this in May, they're removing a bunch. Most notably, Resistance Fall of Man, Resistance 2, and Infamous Second Son. Now, Infamous Second Son, you can still probably buy a disc copy somewhere. You can download that one off the PlayStation Store. But Resistance 1 and 2, you cannot download. This is another thing that's very inconsistent about PS Plus, is some of the PS3 games you can buy as like their own thing, and some you just straight up can't. And there's no rhyme or reason why one can be and one can't be.
I know we were talking off air, and I knew there were some PS3 games you couldn't buy, and there also are some that you can't get through the store on a full PS4 or 5, but you can get through PS3, which I've had to do that a couple times. But it's just it's so hard to keep track of. And I don't know, even now, it's like I have a hard time remembering like what games I have on what console. I wish they would just all be available on their latest console.
It sounds a lot like the problems we have with streaming services for TV and movies. It's like, oh, I want to see that. Wait, which of the 10 streamers is it on? Who has the license right now?
Except it's the same company, so it's even worse.
Yeah, that's that's the most interesting thing is that they're taking off a first-party game that can't be bought. So you would have to have... I did last year buy a shit ton of PS3 games because I didn't want to pay for premium. It's like, my PS3, it's not perfect, but it still works. I actually played Resistance as like recently as like 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you, it doesn't hold up. It's very much a game of 2008.
I'm sorry, I've heard that from multiple people, like, you know, saying they've played it within recent years, and then it just, it doesn't quite hold up, which is a shame, but I enjoyed it at the time, so.
I mean, it's playable, but I say this a lot, we've come a long way, you know?
Did it utilize six axis at all?
Not as far as I can tell. The sequel might have. I also have the Resistance 2 here. I haven't booted it up in forever because I can't remember. And the thing is, like, Sony, they always wanted, and you can say whatever Microsoft has done to their own franchise, but they were always chasing Halo, right? That's like, okay, Resistance, all right, that didn't work. All right, what about Killzone? All right, that didn't work. Or what about SOCOM? What about MAG? What about Haze? What about this dozen other things? And they could never do that. For years and years and years, we kept hearing about the Halo killer, and it was supposed to be Killzone, really. But it just never happened for them, and they just kind of gave up. So they said, okay, what we'll do is spend $4 billion on Bungie. They can make shooters for us. We don't have to worry about it. And Microsoft was like, oh yeah, well, we'll play, I can't even remember how much, for Activision, and they'll just make Call of Duty for us. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of iconic PlayStation characters and franchises, but I don't think any of them compare to Halo. I think Halo is bigger than any sort of PlayStation, you know, Crash Bandicoot, Tomb Raider, or USB Tomb Raider. There are some other ones like Infamous, but yeah, it's just Halo's always been synonymous with Microsoft, and you're right, I think PlayStation wanted that for their own console. I think they wanted a first person franchise that could carry them for decades and that they would, you know, get a huge fan base around, but it just never came to be. And those games aren't bad. I've played all the Resistances. I've played most of the Killzone. There might be one of the latest ones I haven't played, but I like those games. They're just not as good as Halo or Halo at its peak.
And it's not, and they've had plenty of opportunity to bring those back, by the way. There has not been a Resistance game since the third one. There might be like a Vita thing. There's not been a Killzone except since Shadowfall, which is a PS4 launch title. And Guerrilla has abandoned that to go focus on Horizon forever. And Insomniac abandoned Resistance, go be Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man Studio. It's like, that's all they do now. So you have to wonder how much of it is the studio wanting to make these games. We talked about this before with Sucker Punch and like Ghost of Tsushima, Ghost of Yote. It's like, how much of this is Sony telling them what to do, and how much of it is the actual developers saying, we want to make this game?
I think that for the first game in the series, if talking about Ghost of Tsushima, I think that is a game that Sucker Punch wanted to make, and it did really, really well. Now, making a sequel to it, that might be a little bit of pressure from up high, saying, hey, this first one sold a lot of copies. We want to keep that gravy train rolling, so... there's definitely a lot of evidence in sequel games where you can tell there's company interference. There's, you know, some things that weren't in the previous one or contradict a previous title or something and it seems to go in a different direction and it feels a lot more corporate. I don't know if that will happen with Yote, but we'll see.
It seems to happen more with Sony. Last of Us to Last of Us 2, there's obviously a clear narrative difference. God of War to God of War Ragnarok, not as much of a huge jump, but there is some absolutely worthless, pointless, useless shit in Ragnarok. Fucking Horizon. You know, I like both of those Horizon games. And I don't think either their plots are good, but the second plot is way fucking worse than the first. Just like they all just take a nosedive in writing quality. So I'm fully expecting Ghost of Yotei to suck ass.
They had a trailer, a new trailer for it recently, and it was... I hesitated when we were talking yesterday to say I liked it. There were things I liked, but the things that I liked were in the first game. It was the combat. It was the art direction. It was the music. But as far as the snippets we saw, the story and the protagonist, not so promising. And I'm not saying the first game was Citizen Kane or anything like that, but it still had a pretty gripping narrative, a great antagonist, just a guy you love to hate. And it was a simple, albeit well-executed story. So I'm cautious about Yotei.
I'm absolutely pessimistic. I don't trust Sony for shit. It's like, until they give me a reason to, I have no reason to trust them anymore. That's why I don't want to pay for PS Plus. It's like, okay, Yotei is going to be a rental because I don't trust you guys not to fuck with me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so many studios I have any faith in, air quotes, left. It's like, oh, these guys, you know, put out a quality product and they care about, you know, making players happy. We're losing more and more of them each year. Everything is becoming more corporatized, more corporate focused, more broader scope, more modern audience focused. So you have to wonder, it's like, are you guys leaving fun at the door to have prettier graphics?
Possibly. It does feel that way. And I know there's a running joke that a lot of the PS4, the first party titles for the PS4, which helped them win that generation, were a lot of them are third person action games, and there wasn't a lot of innovation as far as genre or risk taking went.
Well, as we said, they couldn't get a first person game out there. Mm-hmm. So
and that's you know, it's saying that we're talking about, you know, Halo's dominance, but Halo hasn't made a good game in arguably a decade, I would say. A good Halo.
Infinite is better than 5, and that's really all you can ask for in video games. I've always said, like, your game is only as good as the previous one. What's the fucking baseball thing, Sizzy? Momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. It's backwards for video games.
Wow, you nailed it.
If you are better, I'd know a phrase, I just don't like baseball. If you are better than your previous game, then you're a success. Horizon is like my exception to that thing for Sony, because I don't think any of their sequels have... They've all been technically better, right? Mm-hmm. They've all been better looking, they've been prettier, they've been, you know, longer games, they've had more shit to do, but every single one of them narratively has folded.
I have to look at numbers, but Sony first party games, they seem to have a second title problem, wherein it's a lot of the same of what made the first game so good, but they still have numbers dropping off. And I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's a case-by-case sort of situation or something, you know, more much larger as a whole, as a company.
So we have suddenly an accidental Valve problem where they won't make a third one. Like, they're probably making Horizon 3. The problem is they have to get through a multiplayer one. They will not let go for some ass reason. Neil Druckmann said, yeah, we're not doing a Last of Us 3. The third God of War game, that's up in the air. Who fucking knows? I know they're doing a shit TV show about it. That's what they're focusing on. So it's like, Sony only makes sequels and not trilogies. I have no idea what they're doing. And by the way, this true, what else is true? That Infamous Second Son was probably their last third game, right? Because even despite the weird title, that was the third Infamous game. Mm-hmm. And that's been long abandoned. That's never coming back.
God, that's such a shame too. I love the Infamous series. Two might be one of my favorite superhero games. It's a fantastic game. And yeah, Second Son came out, what, 2014? 11 years ago?
It was a PS4 launch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks really damn good. And
yes,
it played great. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, and that, you brought up the TV deals as well. And I wonder if that has something to do with these, you know, Sony sort of quote-unquote abandoning these franchises as far as making a next title. And I think some of them, I was saying some might be case, like Last of Us 2, collectively, not a lot of people like that for good reason. It's a crappy story, and TV viewers are experiencing it now. God of War,
that's been really funny to watch. Yeah,
the Norse-based God of War games. I don't know if they were ever meant to do a trilogy. I guess I kind of assume since they did in the first place with God of War. But who knows, like you said, who knows where that's going. And sales have just dipped down for these sequels, for all these big titles that made their brand during the PS4 era.
We have to move on to Nintendo bashing here in a minute, but to wrap up the Sony bashing, another thing about Ghost of Yotei is that has a, just like Horizon and another, I can't remember the other game that it had it, that's fucking Last of Us. And they're having a super deluxe edition where you pay a shit ton of money for all these little tchotchkes, no disc.
Oh my goodness. Naughty Dog, they're giving Bethesda a run for their money in the re-release category. It's absurd. What's the new one cost? Like $100? For the bundle?
It's $100 for two games and no disc. But my point being, Ghost of Yotei also has a collector's edition with no disc.
It's ridiculous. I hate that they just keep pushing it, but...
So, when you see news like, oh, Sony's just taking off first-party games off their premium service, it's like, of course they are. They're fucking stupid. Like, Jim Ryan or Japanese guys, they just make really stupid business decisions. It's not like... Like, Nintendo's business problems is that they're fucking greedy. Sony's business problems is that they're incompetent.
There's a little of that in Nintendo, too, but... Yeah, Sony, they just... I said it in a tweet when this Nintendo pricing debacle was going... Fiasco was going on. And Sony decided to raise the price of premium or plus in certain countries.
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that yet. Fucking hell, man.
And I'm trying to remember the countries. One, it was like some European countries, Australia, I want to say.
Yeah, and the Arab area.
Too. Yeah, not U.S. or Canada, but trust me, that's probably coming. But I said, I tweeted at Sony, I said, your opponent is stumbling, and instead of letting them fail, you just decide to follow in their footsteps. It's only Sony could do such a stupid thing.
And it's, again, the same excuse Nintendo used, in fact. Oh, tariffs. Oh, unknown global economy. Oh, it's like, you guys are all so fucking dumb. Because anyone with, a long-term brain, what they're both doing, Sony and Nintendo, are throwing away long-term money for short-term money, which is something you never fucking do in business. Again, I don't have a degree. I didn't finish college, blah, blah, blah. I'm a smart enough consumer to know that you don't throw away long-term gains for short-term gains, and they're both doing that right now.
No, the optimal course is that you try to do both, and it's not always easy. I understand that. But I think these TV deals are also just another sort of avenue they're taking for the short-term games, because... What's the God of War series going to be about? Is it just going to be the games again? Is it just going to be like the Last of Us series? Like, why are they creating these huge narrative video games? And instead of trying to bring more people in to play them, they're like, well, we'll just make TV shows about them. And they're obviously inferior.
Because in addition to Sony being stupid, the people making the TV shows are also stupid. Susie, this week it was announced, on the heels of Minecraft's major success, they're making an Outrun movie and Split Fiction movie. Yeah, that's been greenlit too.
With Sydney Sweeney. Which I...
Whoopity-doo!
I couldn't believe that because she's attractive and the protagonist in that game or not.
It's not like she's going to be showing her bare tits. That's all anyone cares about Sydney Sweeney. I'm on record as saying that.
Hey, you know, you don't know that. We need to see the movie first. or you know, just wait for the leaks.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Business is not booming. So Nintendo, to get to their stupid shit, finally let people pre-order here in the United States and Canada. And They all sold out, Sizzy. Who would have thunk? Who could have possibly been surprised that all the pre-orders for Nintendo Switch 2, they all sold out. Everybody loves this fucking $600 piece of shit.
Well, in fairness, it's only $600 if you get the bundle, the controller, and the...
And one game.
And what, actually, it would be more than $600 then, truthfully. Because the camera's $50. Oh, no. Did they increase the price of the camera? I know they did for some of the accessories. That's another thing that came out, too.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about what are the odds that they lower the price, and I think both of us agreed, like, there's no way they lower the console price, which they didn't. I said there might be a higher chance that they lower the game price. I didn't think they would, and they didn't. But they did increase the price of accessories.
Like I said, greedy. But there's another thing. This also goes back kind of what Sony does, and Microsoft has been doing this for a while with, you know, varied success. We'll talk about them later in the show. But Nintendo, I suspect, with the way they're marketing and running and making these games for the Switch 2, they want you to buy the bundles, and they want you to buy digital games. What was revealed during the showcase earlier this month is that they wanted to... they had little game key cards. Everyone's calling these key cards. I don't know what they're actually called. But it's basically a cartridge that has no game on it. And their whole selling point, Nintendo's, is, oh, you can resell them to people and they'll still work. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's no different than a code in a box. It's just a little physical piece of shit that unlocks your game. You still have to download it digitally. So your logic brain goes, then why bother buying it? I'll just get it digital, because it is digital, and that's what Nintendo wants. The major problem is that it's inconsistent on which games are on the key, because some third-party games in Japan are entirely on a key and not any on cartridges, and some games, the exact same games over here in the US, if you buy the Western version, is going to be entirely on the cartridge. And there, again, Nintendo hasn't said fucking anything about this. We have to hear all this from third-party sites.
It's madness, and it's just a confusing mess, and it seems to be different just depending on developer or publisher. I think Sega has come out and said that all of their Switch 2 titles are going to be just key card games, where it just unlocks the info or the digital download, what have you. I can't keep any of this shit straight, and it's just it's another reason why I don't care about this launch at all. It's just it's needlessly confusing, just to save you know, a few bucks on not putting a whole game on a physical cartridge, which would have solved everything.
Do you remember before they had the actual Switch 2 reveal, they had a very short trailer saying, okay, here's the reveal, this is when it's gonna be. And everyone assumed that was in response to leaks, because somebody illegally acquired one of these consoles and gave out all the specs on it. And so Nintendo had to, in air quotes, put out a thing that said, okay, fine, we're going to formally show it off on this date. So why the fuck can't they do that again? Why can't they have another emergency, quote-unquote, Nintendo Direct to say, okay, we're here to clear up some confusion about the key cards. In North America, key cards like that. That's it. Just explain this shit.
I think I told you yesterday off air that they need to come out and make like a graph. And as ridiculous as that sounds, it's kind of what's necessary, but they're not going to do that. They're Nintendo. They seem to, and I'm probably going to word this terribly, but from a company philosophy and down to like game design or graphic, you know, console design, they seem to take pride in minimalism. Nintendo does.
Sure.
It feels like they always think, oh, we do less, we do simple stories, we do simple characters, and we just have fun, family friendly consoles that you can take anywhere and anyone can pick up and go and whatnot. And this just from the pricing, from the confusion about the cartridges and the games and whatnot, I mean, this is just something that this sounds like something Microsoft or Sony would be involved in. And it's just like it, but it's like, no, it's Nintendo. So yeah, they're just going to let everybody else sort that out. They'll let other people do the heavy work for it. So Why do they need to bother?
Nah, the customer can figure it out. Fuck them.
Yeah, that's probably what they think. I mean, the figuring out part, not the other. They may think
so. So now, to me, here's the scummiest part. I was unable to verify this because I may be an internet journalist. I don't exactly have contacts, right? So I have to sift through things. I have to, like, I don't get every video game news story, but I have to, like, think about who's saying what and where is this information coming from, all this stupid shit. Not necessarily for the show, but for my own edification, because I like to know this shit. Apparently, Stiz, for the Nintendo Switch 1, there were three kinds of carts, physical cartridges. I don't know the sizes, but it was a small gigabyte size, a medium gigabyte size, and a large gigabyte size, we'll say, right? And as the console went on, you saw more code in box, frankly, because the games couldn't fit on the cartridge, or the developer just didn't want to pay Nintendo, because Nintendo owns these cartridges. The developer, let's say Sega, has to pay Nintendo for the right to put their games on one of these little things. And then they obviously split the profits of those sales of that little piece of plastic. So as it went on, more developers are saying, you know what, maybe we don't want to spend the money to purchase little pieces of plastic. We'll just give it digitally. That way we don't spend money on that part, and we'll get more, you know, revenue on the back end, which is what they all want. Allegedly, Stiz, for the Switch 2, Nintendo only offered two sizes of cart, 2 gigabyte and 64 gigabyte. Which means if you're a developer, Sega or whoever, and your game is larger than 2 gigabytes, you have to pay Nintendo for the 64 gigabyte card. Are you following me so far on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, of all the companies on Earth, CDPR managed to put fucking Cyberpunk 2077 into 44 gigs on a Nintendo Switch 2 card. I have no idea how they did this. It'll probably look like shit. It's
probably,
but they did
144p
it.
Something.
But so many other companies are just straight up opting for the key card because this is their third option.
Mm-hmm.
The third option is a digital option, but you still get the revenue of the physical without having to, you know, pay super extra for the 64 card. So now Nintendo is basically putting the burden on the devs to pay up or shut up. It's like you pay extra for the gigabytes you don't need, or you go all digital, which is what they want. Again, this is all, I can't confirm any of this. None of this is 100% true. It's probably like 90% true.
Oh, I believe it. I would not be surprised if that was all true, or most of it was. And it does feel like Nintendo is pigeonholing these companies, and that the developers are just going to opt for the digital, the key card, because it's just less hassle that way. And that's probably, you're right, probably that's probably what Nintendo wants. And I remember, you're right, because the first Switch had these sort of things too. And the most famous one I think can remember was Fortnite. Fortnite had, yes, you could actually get a Nintendo Switch box of Fortnite, but it would just have a key card, or it might have been a digital code. I can't remember, but something to that same effect. And you would download it. And I think Apex Legends also may have had one or something like that, but yes, it kind of makes sense for a live service games, because those games are constantly being updated. And if you have a set amount of memory on a cartridge, then you can't always account for, like, you know, how much data of future updates are going to bring, or even how long that game lasts. So that kind of situation made sense. But to offer such a disparate value of, like, denominations, like, what game is under 2 gigabytes? I guarantee you that fucking tutorial game that's coming with the Switch, it's not even coming with it, it's $10. That's not even 2 gigabytes. That's probably more. And 64 is also not a lot these days, at least for big titles.
I wish I could share the text log that I had with you live when I was discovering this information. Let me see if I can pull that up, actually. I'm just going to, hold on. I want to read this for the listener. So this is me to you a couple days ago. The reason, allegedly, the reason so many third-party Switch 2 games are key cards is Nintendo is only offering devs two kinds of storage, 8 gigs and 64. So if a game is, say, 10 gigs, the dev has to pay for the 64. I updated 1 minute later. Oh, wait, it's 4 gig, not 8. I'll just say, that's bullshit, is what you said. I'm paraphrasing. Like an hour later, Sizzy, I said to you, oh my god, it's 2 gigabytes. I was just discovering this horror live on this research.
No, it was a good bit of journalism on your part. It was a nice bit of sleuthing, and that was the first I'd heard that. And it's just another thing that just got lost in the weeds and all this shit show mm-hmm. around Nintendo and the Switch 2.
And due to the pre-orders, it seems that Nintendo was right, that gamers don't care. So they don't give a fuck. They want their Nintendo thing. Key cards, whatever. Who cares? We don't care about long-term preservation. We don't care about consequences. We want Nintendo thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've proven that they can set a price, and people will pay it. I was watching a live stream, and this guy was at a local GameStop, and he was talking to, there was like 30 or 40 people in line. He talked to like 5 or 6. And he was asking the people at the front what they were looking forward to, what they thought of the price, yada, yada. And all of them were big Nintendo fans. And as far as the price went, a few of them kind of grumbled at it, saying, yeah, it's a bit on the high side, but it is what it is. I swear 4 or 5 of them said it is what it is. As in, what can we do about it? We're just mere customers.
I will gladly take it up the butt from Nintendo.
Yes, exactly. I expressed this sentiment in the previous show, but I just show some discipline for once in your life, please. But some people can't. There are people that pay $3,000 for a graphics card that's MSRP $600 or $700. So it's not just Nintendo fans, but people will, if they just feel like they need to have new product from this company, they will pay whatever they have to.
I would say Nintendo was like that. Apple is certainly like that. There are a lot of other like physical product. And frankly, there aren't a lot of physical products anymore. But as far as like top of the list of people, oh, I got to have the new thing. It's Apple and Nintendo.
It's all about FOMO. FOMO. They don't want to be left out.
That's going to be sort of our next subject here in a minute. But you have any wrap up on this? Unless we stop this part.
No, I'm sure that'll just be more, as I'm paraphrasing myself, bullshit coming out on the Nintendo side. Sony, who knows, they'll just probably just keep shooting themselves in a new foot. I can't believe they still have some to shoot, but
I say this every week, Stiz, we can't keep up.
No, we really can't. It's nonstop. Nonstop.
We haven't talked about Microsoft yet. Let's give them a segment. Why not? Actually, you know what? I'm going to look up when it actually dropped, because there were two big Game Pass drops this week. One is Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which I promise we'll have probably a whole show about someday. Not today. Neither of us have put enough time into that game to, you know, really give it its due. So we'll talk about that later. But Elder Scrolls for Oblivion Remaster is what they're calling it, did get released this past Wednesday? Tuesday? What the hell day was it?
Tuesday.
The 23rd? The 22nd?
Yeah, it was Tuesday. Okay. Yeah.
So this has been rumored for a while, you know, in scuttlebutt stuff around the internet. The earliest official thing from this website says Thursday, March 13th of this year. So there have been rumblings of possible remakes since 2023 of some people who suck, who I won't name, said, oh, it'll probably be this month or next month. Apparently, it had been targeting a June release because of Xbox's big showcase, their E3 replacement. But then other places like VGC, blah, 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 blah. Interestingly enough, according to this article, the company that made Oblivion Remaster, called Virtuous, is also helping on Virtuous Mission. They're also working on Delta, Snake Eater.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
That's probably why they're called Virtuous, by the way.
It could be. It could be. I believe they're a French-based studio. Yeah. Hmm.
So that was March. March 13th when that first got out. 2 days later, on March 15th, another story from ya boy, this guy I will name, fat ass Jeff Grubb. He was like, I think it'll probably be this week. He said April 15th. That was a month later, I'm sorry. And then it still hadn't happened. And then the screenshots leaked and it's like, okay, well, it'll be out, sometime this week probably. And then it still didn't happen.
Well, I was just going to say, some of those screenshots were also, sort of dicey because one of them did look like a Photoshop job where it was supposed to be a title card on the Game Pass store. And most of the cards are rounded in the edges and the corners, where this one wasn't. It was just a square and it wasn't lined up correctly. So I thought, okay, is this legit or not? So I still had my doubts at that point.
It seemed to be a weird battle between marketers and leakers, because then they finally said, okay, on Monday the 21st, we're going to show it to you. And then it'll be out that day or the next day. I cannot remember, Sizzy, because everything happens so fast with this stuff. Because it gets leaked, and then it's leaked, and it's leaked. And I had a big tweet about, I will talk about this later, about the graphics issues. It's not really issues, but you know what I mean, in between original and remake. Anyways, it's finally out, and everybody seems to be playing it. Have you been playing it?
I have been playing it. In fact, I've played probably 15 hours of it. into this
remaster. How much are you, just to confirm, you've played the original Oblivion on the 360?
I did. I don't know if I've told the story before on this show. I'm sure I have, but I'll tell it again. Oblivion is the only game I bought before I had the console to play it on. Why I did that, I still can't remember. I think I was I was starting a new job, and I hadn't quite had the funds to buy the console yet, but I had enough to get the game, so I just did that. It was stupid, didn't make any sense, but I did it. That's how much I was looking forward to it, because I played Morrowind on the Xbox, and I love Morrowind. It's a fantastic game. And Oblivion, I sunk so many hours into that game, and it's not even so much the gameplay or the RPG mechanics, which they're there, but it's more of the world and the exploration that draws you into Oblivion.
I think this is true of most Bethesda games, made by Bethesda, I mean, not, sister studios, but the Skyrim and what the fuck is it called? Fallout and even Starfield to some degree. There's a lot of hands off with the game. Where they're like, go there and go do a thing. Or not. Fucking whatever. You play it.
They're very, very, very good at environmental design and making things on the horizon look exciting and look interesting. And that you want to go there and see what it is and what's going on there. And you might get into a dungeon or complete a quest or get a cool new weapon or piece of armor or something like that. Mm-hmm. You just never know. It's about that appeal of what's over the next hill.
Yes. It's like Minecraft, but it doesn't look as shitty. it looks, I gotta say, I was not super happy about the lack of bloom, shall we say, because I had that tweet of, with a lot of these remakes, we really just lose color. Like, if you look back, the original Oblivion on 360, it was fucking bright and colorful. Mm-hmm. It was just bright greens and bright yellows and bright oranges.
Very saturated.
You could say, well, it was the technology of the time and we've moved past these art assets. But but that's part of the game to me. And even, I do think the remake is as good looking as a game this generation can get, despite them using older models. But I do think there is a tiny bit of the sauce lost. Like, the gameplay is still there, but in terms of art direction, I think there's a little bit lost because there isn't bloom coming off the walls. You go into those alien ruins and they're not you know, the walls aren't just blue. I think that is part of what made Oblivion Oblivion. And this remaster is just like, what if we did it the exact same game, but in a new engine? And I do think there's a little bit of art lost, if not necessarily the game.
Right, because you're right. The colors popping was... It was such a standout, especially in that decade of gaming, where there was a quote-unquote the piss filter or the brown filter that was so prevalent in so many titles around then. It's what made Oblivion stand out, and it sold the idea of it being a high fantasy setting where everything is so bright and green and colorful, and the greenery also did a good job of contrasting the dark red of the Oblivion gates, and it made it really made them really stand out and make it look unnatural in that world. So some of the screenshots that got leaked with this remaster were not the best that they could have come up with. You know, it kind of there is color, there's brightness, there's blue in the sky, but a lot of times, and it just it seems to be, you know, more frequent like in the dawn or dusk or like when there's inclement weather, there seems to be sort of like a hazy sort of filter around the game that sort of dulls a lot of the colors. And it just, like you said, it sort of doesn't quite capture the same experience in the original. So
now, sticking with technical things for a minute, one thing you brought this up to me is like, they didn't update any of the models. Like, if you go back and look at those Oblivion character models, they were all like fucking ugly. But that was, you know, again, the technology of the time. So you figure, well, a new engine, we can, you know, make them look like we did in Skyrim or Elder Scrolls Online. And instead of doing that, they just made them ugly with better graphics. Does that make sense?
Well, I think they did recreate them because it's a whole new engine. It's Unreal Engine 5. But they tried to make them as close as possible. And except for apparently the Argonians and the Khajiit look nothing like they did in Oblivion. In fact, the Argonians, they don't look like reptiles. They look like dinosaurs. Like they just stepped out of the old Jim Henson TV show. And they have dreadlocks, and it's really off-putting, but it is what it is. But yeah, and they've implemented this new AI lip sync technology to map the lips with whatever the dialogue's coming out. And it makes a lot of the models look like they're creepy, scary clowns. It's, especially the female models. I don't know what it is about the female faces in particular, but they all look like they have coat hangers in their mouths.
They all have very wide Joker smiles, I believe we came to that conclusion.
Yeah, like they got a huff of the Joker gas. It's just, ugh. But as far as like recreating it, I've seen some I remember a lot of them from when I played it, and I've seen some comparison shots, and they did a good job of, for the most part, of, making the new models in this new game and, you know, matching kind of what they look like in the original. So, but they did try to make this as faithful to the original as possible. They left a lot of the awkward physics in there, yeah, the jankiness.
I was very worried that the quirkiness of the game would be gone in terms of, like, you know, really stupid dialogue NPCs of, like, oh, have you heard any news from the continent? And there's, like, they'll just say dumb shit. Oh, citizen? The great fuck. Just, like, really shit line reads that you didn't think anything about in 2006, again, because it's part of the charm. And they changed basically none of it. I heard during that big showcase that they had last week that they re-recorded some lines or recorded new lines or something for new voices, because one of the problems in Oblivion specifically is there's like 10 voices total. You know, they spent all their money on Sean Bean and Patrick Stewart, and there was nothing left over for any other voice actors, so you'll hear the same three or four voices no matter where you go. There are a few new voices that are just saying old stuff in the remaster.
Yeah, and I've heard quite a few of the new ones, and they're mostly pretty good. Some of them actually It's funny because some of the actors actually seem to take it seriously and want to do a good job at it. And then others seem to try to want to match the performance from the original actors as well. And some of the audio levels for some of their lines is also really low. It's off. I don't know. They probably did a lot of recording at home. I'm sure that is the reason. But yeah, it's really funny hearing all the people talking to each other and hello, how are you? Well, good day, and they just walk off and
they even kept. I don't know how they did this. They kept a glitch. So I was just doing this yesterday. I'm in the Fighters Guild, and there's I don't remember none of these names. You go to this dark elf dude, and he's like, come with me to this alien ruin. And it's I was so shocked by it, because this doesn't happen anymore. So what in Skyrim, it's you go to a guy, and he's like, come with me to this place. So what you'll do is teleport there, and he'll also be there. Not in fucking Oblivion. In Oblivion, you gotta wait for their ass, or follow behind them. That's the problem with this guy was. He said, follow me. So it literally says, if I wasn't walking behind him, he wouldn't move. So I was waiting for fucking ever. I was like, where is this asshole? So I went all the way back to where he was. He was still stuck in that one spot. As soon as I stepped behind him, he started walking forward. It's like, oh no, he means follow me, motherfucker.
Oh, man. Yeah, because even though it is Unreal Engine 5 and they did recreate a lot of the models, this is still Oblivion under the hood. It is very much the same game, just a new coat of paint on it. Because I've had a ton of the issues and glitches I had with the original. I've had hard crashes. I've had about 6 or 7 infinite loading screens. I've just had to close my game and then reopen it.
I've only had one of those, thankfully.
It keeps happening to me. It's like, oh my gosh. I'm back on the 360 again.
By the way, that guy, to finish this up, that same dude, we go to the alien ruin, we clear it out, and then he says, all right, go to wherever the fuck. And so I go do more quests, I leave the alien ruin. Maybe 3 gameplay hours later, I have to go back to that same dark elf, and he's not in the city where he's supposed to be. I was like, oh fuck, he's still in that fucking ruin. I go back to the ruin, and as soon as I enter the entrance, he's right there. So I wait for him to walk outside so he can go back to his damn house. Again, instead of teleporting, he walks all the way back to his damn house. It's like, oh my god, it's Oblivion.
There was one quest I thought I was going to get softlock out of. It was one I was telling you about yesterday, but it was a different leg of the quest where it's about you're investigating a corrupt captain in the Imperial City. And you have to get 2 witnesses to testify, but they have to go and testify to a separate Imperial City captain. And you don't know when that's going to be. So basically, I had to go to their house. At first, I had to find them because they were in their house, or one of them was. And I had to find them, and they weren't moving. They weren't doing anything. And I was like, what's going on here? Am I just going to get locked out of this quest? So I just went off and did my own thing and went to sleep and quested some more. And then when I was back in the Imperial City, I talked to the captain. And he's like, oh, yeah, I talked to them, or I heard from them. And I'm like, when? They weren't doing anything. They were glitched out. But I guess it just sort of like forced the error through, and I was able to get to it. So
it hit ignore instead of retry. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So
Now, there is a big negative for me, because I'm a huge fucking nerd. I don't know if you remember this, Diz, but in Oblivion Original, you had what's called major skills and you had minor skills. Only your major skills would actually level you up. You could level up all your minor skills all you wanted, but it wouldn't count towards your overall level up. In this remaster, it does. Which means there's no real reason to have major or minor skills. It's kind of like Skyrim in that way. And that they didn't need to parse it out.
In the remaster, your major skills do level you up faster. Like, you will get experience from the minor skills, but the major skills will give you a bigger boost. So it's not completely superfluous, but yeah, you're right. It's it's much easier to
simplify.
Yeah, it's very simplified. Yeah.
Also, they added a sprint toggle like they've had in, you know, ESO and Skyrim. But because in Oblivion, athletics is a skill whereby running you will level up. And I was like, this seems like a strange thing as well. I was worried, actually, when they said they had a sprint, but I was like, oh, did you get rid of athletics? That'd be horrible. But no, they kept everything in.
I don't know if sprinting actually increases your athletics gain or not, because most of my athletics leveling is just me just walking around normally and not even sprinting. So, but acrobatics, I don't understand that one. Like, I will leap from one building to the other and not get anything, and then later on I'll just be hopping and I'll get a level. So,
yeah, there's a lot of little fiddly things like that. Like conjuration only counts when a hit happens. So let's say you summon a skeleton. Unless that skeleton takes damage or does damage, you don't level up conjuration.
Mm-hmm. And there's certain spells that don't activate when you're in first person view. Like I think it's the Starlight that I use in dungeons, and it's Oblivion, so I'm playing in first person. But it doesn't activate, so I have to toggle the camera to third person, and the spell finally kicks in, and then I toggle back into first person.
Dude, I think both of us are on record as having put more hours into Skyrim at this point than either of us did in Oblivion. But going back to Oblivion now, it's like, these dungeons are fucking tiny and so claustrophobic. Playing Skyrim, every single dungeon is open air. They're like huge, expansive rooms with like puzzles and shit. Every cave in Oblivion is a cave. It's like, you're crouching, you're hunched over, you get lost because every fucking corridor looks the same. It's like, Jesus.
Oh, there was one last night I was in it. I seriously got lost in it. I was like, where the fuck am I? And there was a bunch of...
Thank God for clairvoyance.
Yeah, there was a bunch of monsters in it. And I've gotten far enough to confirm that, yeah, the scaling is probably is still bad in this game. Where I'm getting to the point where I'm meeting monsters. It's just kind of taking forever to kill them. They're not doing a whole lot of damage to me, but it's just like, oh, wow, just... really, really cutting any sort of sense of progression right at the knees, like it did in the original. But
so it is, you know, is it the most faithful remaster ever because of the things they changed? A gender thing that does not fucking matter that we will not speak any more of. The sprint button and the different level up system. Everything else, as far as I've played, as far as I can tell, is the exact fucking same. So is this like the most faithful remake ever? Because Resident Evil 4 fucked with a bunch of stuff. Dead Space, well, the things Dead Space fucked with pissed me off more than anyone else on the internet, but it really pissed me off. Oblivion's changes aren't that big of a change. It's the same game, but better looking. There's no two ways about it.
It might be the most faithful remaster. Besides... because it kind of blurs a line between remaster and remake, because it does, like I said, it recreates a lot of the models, and a lot of them look like, especially the weapon and the armors, look really cool. Although one thing they did take away is the female specific armor. They just made it like smaller males, so I don't know why they had to do that. But it's, because it's kind of, it like I said, it's basically Oblivion at its bones, but they have added some things in and they made it look prettier. So like I said, it sort of straddles a line between remastered and remake. If I had to choose, it is a remaster, because the gameplay is not affected. The mechanics, we talked about the leveling, sort of tweaked, but still pretty much the same. Besides the remasters that are basically just an up-res, I would say, yeah, it's one of the most faithful I can think of, for better or worse.
So, given that this is the same company that's also helping to work on Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater later this year, does that give me more confidence? I guess. But then, I want to really come to the crux of this thought. Here's this. We both like this game. We're both having fun with it. What's the point of this game? if it really is, if Delta really is just going to be Snake Eater again, if Oblivion Remastered really is just Oblivion again, it's like, both of those games, they're dated as fuck, but they're still absolutely playable by modern standards. It's like, why do games that are still playable need to be remade or remastered? I don't know that there's money in this idea, Stiz, but I think it's a much better idea for companies to try to remake or remaster games that sucked. You don't need to redo good games. A good game is a good game no matter what year you play it in. If there's a good game on SNES, it's probably a good game today. So it's like, why are we spending money and resources, you know, on remastering good stuff?
Because it makes money. To answer your question, they have not released any unit sold numbers for Oblivion Remaster, but a shit ton of people are playing it. I mean, you mentioned it right at the top of the hour. Everybody's talking about it. It's making all the news cycles, video game industry-wise. And people are sharing their screenshots and their clips and talking about how it compares to their old memories of the game or if they're experiencing it new and yada yada. And it's like it is a 300 to 400 hour game that they just dropped out of nowhere. And
yes,
that's substantial. And that's not nothing. I wish they'd done it another week because another really good game came out this week, but it is what it is. That's what big companies do. But yeah, to answer your question, these remasters and remakes exist just to sell people their memories back to them again, just in a little bit of prettier package. I, for one, have a lot of fun with remasters and remakes. But to be honest, my favorite are probably ones that they still retain the spirit of the original, but they change it for the better. Like Resident Evil 2 remake is probably my favorite remake. And it's still the same, like, core story and characters and all that, but it's vastly different gameplay. And they change a bunch of other stuff, too. And it makes it a better experience, for the most part, for a modern day. These really, really pretty remasters, yeah, they kind of lose their effect after a while. They're you know, to a lesser. Now, Oblivion Remaster, Oblivion is probably in my top 25 games of all time, so I probably will be sticking with it for a while. I don't know if I'll be doing every single thing like I did originally, but I could see myself playing it for a while. So it just kind of just depends on the game and what, you know, the gamer and what that specific title means to them. Some people are going to get more mileage out of others than some people will.
We talked about this off air, but I love Oblivion. I spent a billion hours in it. I used to have notebooks of like perfect leveling because I was a big fucking nerd about this. But I like Skyrim more. I think Skyrim is a better game overall. I think it's a better RPG. I think it's a better Elder Scrolls game. I've spent more time in it. If you're giving me the what would you more likely? Would you more likely play, you know, Skyrim again, or Oblivion Remastered again, or Oblivion Original again? Given the, you know, notched arrow to my head, I'd probably say Skyrim again, if only because it's fucking smaller. Oblivion Remastered is 123 motherfucking gigabytes, and that's not nothing. Again, it's, you know, mostly textures. So when I'm done with this game, I'm going to be done with this game. I'm probably not going to revisit it when I get what I want out of it. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I don't see myself creating multiple characters, which is what I did in the past as well.
Right, right.
I'll probably just play this one guy and then, you know, that'll be it. But it is nice. It's nice to go back to it and just, because even though I put hundreds of hours into it and there's a lot of highlights that I'll never forget, it's nice to go back and rediscover some quests and be like, and just ones that I have totally forgotten about until I start doing them again. Like, oh, I remember this, you know, this person does that and that person does this. And yeah, it's like, you know, taking a stroll down memory lane. And I think the fact that they kept it so such the same game, you know, sort of kind of like solidifies that, where it's like, you know, like Resident Evil 2 Remake, there's some stuff that, you know, sort of mirror, you know, it mirrors the original, but, you know, they throw enough changes where it's a different game, whereas Oblivion Remaster, it's just like, oh yeah, I remember this happening in the original, and it's happening again in here as well, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the closest analog for me for this is probably the Dead Space Remake, except the things they change in Dead Space Remake are egregiously bad. Like, they made Nicole older and uglier. I don't want to hear from anybody. That's what they did. They gender and race swapped a minor character and gave them lines for no real reason. They added third bathroom bullshit. And they took away lines from from Kendra and Hammond to give to Isaac just so they could have Isaac talk more. Other than that, it's the exact same game. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was a lot of fun. And I played through it once, and I've had no desire to go back and play it again.
I played through it 3 times because I really like Dead Space. It's interesting because, like...
The remake you did? You played 3 times?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes.
But I've played Dead Space original like 7.
Mm-hmm.
If we're doing comparisons. The other big one that's on this year's horizon... Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about this because neither of us have played it, and probably neither of us will play it. Days Gone also got remastered from a PS4 version to a PS5 version. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, big... You posted a tweet about that, the comparison between the original and the remaster. I'm like, wow, it's just like such a big difference.
It's the same for fucking Last of Us. You know, it's like you fuckers did it again. It's like, here's the same shit. Mm-hmm. The textures are just slightly different. You'll never notice. But Metal Gear is one I want to talk about. Delta, Snake Eater. Oblivion isn't my favorite Elder Scrolls game. But Snake Eater is my favorite Metal Gear game. I played that on... I'm going to count it for the audience here. I played it on PS2. When they redid it on PS3. When they redid it on PS4. I played it on 360. I played it on Xbox One. I played it on the fucking Vita. Okay? And if I had it for the Switch, I'd probably play it on the Switch too.
I played it on the Switch.
And I did briefly play it on the 3DS. Because they had a 3DS version. But I only rented that one. So I really fucking love that game. So if Delta is just the same game again, I'm going to be a big fucking hypocrite, Stiz. I'm just going to tell you that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I understand completely. It's and this might just be me with my rose-tinted glasses, but I think 3 still is a damn good-looking game. But we can't see every single hair follicle on Snake's face, so that's what we'll get to experience in Delta. And that we've seen the updated models, and they look good, and everything looks like it is faithful to the original, and that's great with that one. Because I don't, like, Metal Gear Solid 3, its gameplay does not need to be really tampered with. The only thing I could say and that they're adding in that I like is that you can change the camo on the fly. It's just like a transparent pop-up menu.
Back, yeah.
I really like that instead of having to go to your press start, go to your menu, change it manually and the pause screen and then go back. But yeah, for the most part, it just needs a little bit of refinement. Cause I'm with you, like there's some like really old 2D games or some really crappy 3D games I think deserve a remake or remastered treatment more. It used to be kind of a treat when you got like a remaster like or a remake or something like that. Now I think it's oversaturating a little bit with all these remasters. But what do I know? Oblivion is, like I said, a ton of people are playing it, so
my idea of them redoing bad games I think has merit in the marketing and saying, okay, look, this game sucked, but this time we're gonna do it right. Or that those guys didn't know how to do it, but we do, and we're going to fix it and make it good and playable. You can't do that with every game, obviously, but even some, I think there were some missed opportunities to do that with, like, Shadow of the Dam and Lollipop Chainsaw. It's like, how much did those games really change?
I haven't played, Hell of the Dam is that? I can't forget.
Shadows of the Damned, Hella Remastered.
I actually ordered it the other day, so it should be coming in soon-ish. But Lollipop Chainsaw, I never beat it originally, but it felt pretty much like the same game. It was just prettier. And censored too. Yeah, that was great. The repop version was censored. I hated that when I saw it. But yeah.
Well, so is Shadows of the Dam, unfortunately.
Great. Glad I bought it. Glad I paid money for it.
They changed a trophy achievement name because it used to be called, they had a swear in it and they had to take it out for some silly reason. Because one of the guns you get in Shadows of the Damned is called the Big Boner.
Well, God forbid that there's an M-rated achievement in an M-rated game.
Oh, let's... We do not have time to talk about Star Wars today, but good God. God forbid.
Oh, I didn't mean to trigger that.
In an adult show. No, I just want to throw a little dig at Star Wars in there. Fuck them. But yeah, you know, some we'll call it hypocrisy or whatever, that I'm really looking forward to Delta. Yeah.
Oh, I am too. It looks great, and if it plays the same, even better. So, and that's kind of all I need out of this Oblivion remaster. It's just, it's the exact same game. I didn't need to play it like Skyrim. I don't know if Skyblivion, which is a fan project to port Oblivion into the...
That's getting shut down.
Skyrim. Those guys have come out and said Bethesda's not shutting them down. They're letting them carry on, so... Now, whether it will come out this year, they say it's going to, but they've been working on it for over a decade. So, I'd be interested in playing that. I don't know how much, since I feel like I might, you know, get Oblivioned out here with this remaster. And maybe that was Bethesda's ultimate plan all along, you know? It's just like, oh yeah, you can keep making your own little fan-made project, but when we're done with the fans, they won't want any more Oblivion this year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If you want the real shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You want the official Oblivion, you got to come to us.
And again, I'm not entirely certain. You know, there are memes of like, oh, Todd's done it again. It's like, I'm not 100% sure how much Bethesda proper worked on this game as so much as they like provided assets for it. You know what I mean? Like, Todd has been, people keep giving things to Todd. Todd has been hands off since Skyrim. Todd has not worked on a game physically with his own hands since Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been in the management role since then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was at the very beginning of that trailer. I forget what they like the, you know, it was sort of kind of like
first,
a split
first reveal, yeah.
Yeah, first reveal. It's kind of like a split behind the scenes and then also a little bit of gameplay with it. And there were some other Bethesda employees in there too, but yeah, I think it was mostly like art designers and environmental designers, stuff like that. I think the bulk of the porting over went to Virtuous. Is it Virtuous or Virtuos? Virtuous?
Virtuous.
Virtuous, yeah. I think they did most of the work there. So, yeah. although, on a side note, it unnerves me how Todd Howard looks like in the Chad meme. You know what I mean? When they morph him and the Chad guy. But he did it again.
Well, we've talked before about, you know, people, you know, is everything wrong with Mortal Kombat Ed Boon's fault? Is everything wrong with Sony, Herman Holst or the new guy's fault? You know, stuff like that. It's like, to a degree, yes and no. It's like a director of a movie. If you're going to take all the credit, you also get all the blame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of the job for these guys. The buck stops there, so to speak. But I don't think he'll be taking any blame for Oblivion Remaster. Everybody seems to be having a lot of fun with it. Yeah, like we said, there's a few changes that been getting people to gripe. It's one of those things that
we're not talking about it.
But
shut up, Grums, Pirate Nation.
I mean, I'll talk about it. They don't need to do body type 1 and 2. Do male and female, especially since they didn't change anything about the game. They're still pronoun. They're actually like you,
dude,
him, he, her.
I made an Argonian dude, right? I made type whatever the fuck is the dude. And it was like, oh no, type 1 or 2, how terrible. 30 seconds later, the Emperor says he. It's like, oh, so it doesn't fucking matter.
No, it's just more virtue signaling. Virtue signaling from virtuous. funny that. So, but yeah, that stuff's getting modded out. And even the piss filter's getting modded out too, I saw. I tried to play it on my PC, but Unreal Engine is not very nice. Well, I shouldn't say it's the engine's fault. It's the people optimizing it or the people not optimizing it. My PC is not a, or my laptop is not a powerhouse. It's 5 years old, but it can play Final Fantasy Remake Integrate at high quality, at high, you know, high textures, 60 FPS, and it runs great. Oblivion Remaster should not be more taxing on my system than that game, but it is. And it's also much bigger in file size, so maybe some ingenious modder out there will be able to fix some of the engine settings or something. So maybe I could try playing it on the laptop, but yeah, it's not a big deal. But
PC Master Race, huh?
Well, it's not the Master Race, it's the people making the PC games. Which, that's fine. You want to make a game on 5090, that's great. I want you to. But this goes back to CD Projekt Red. Play the game on a like a mid-tier mid-tier rig or a console, yeah, for God's sakes, before you actually start shipping it out. But hey, we can't have surprise shadow drops if we do that.
That too. There's probably a discussion. I don't know if either of us, one, don't have enough time. I don't know if either of us have enough, you know, general knowledge. We can speak on our own personal ideas of what, whether or not shadow drops are good or bad for the industry. I think surprises are, you know, genuinely good if they're good games. Something like Hi-Fi Rush, which was not a good game, you know, it didn't fucking matter that that was shadow dropped.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good if you like physical media, but
that too.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to, you know, if you, there's a game you want to play digitally, then yeah, go for it. It's shadow drops are great. That's why I said that I didn't buy the rumors at first. I thought there's no way they shadow drop a game. And then in the back of my mind, I thought, well, they don't do physical. And sure enough, they didn't do physical media. So that's another reason I probably won't be buying. I won't be paying for this game. I'm just playing it through Game Pass. And that's the only way I'll be experiencing it. So
there's a small part of me that would, but it would have to have a, like a minimum money threshold on Sony, because it's what, 50 or 60?
That's, 50.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that again. So if they got down to like 25, which I don't think will ever happen, you know, I probably get it. But with no disc, there's no opportunity to rent it. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to play it on Game Pass over here on the Xbox.
Yeah, I'm personally subscribed through Game Pass to Game Pass through January of next year, so I got plenty of time to get what I want out of Oblivion until then. So if they ever do release a physical copy, it'll be through a what I like to call a FOMO distributor, like your limited run games and whatnot. So,
which by the way are a fucking terrible company and people should stop buying from them.
I agree. I don't like that concept either. I wish they would just ask for pre-orders and then overproduce by a little bit just so that they have extras in stock. I understand you can't have stock of every single game that you manufacture, but I also don't like this just, you know, buy now or lose it forever sort of throw it in the vault mentality. I hate that.
Like, yeah, like what Sony did at the top of our show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Disney way back in the day.
The all digital future is here. It's not, it used to be coming soon. It's here now. We're in it. You best start believing in it because we're in the all digital future.
Tomorrow comes.
Thank you so much for listening to this all digital edition of the Internet's Worst Gaming Podcast. You can't get a physical copy of this. It's limited.
No, I've tried. Trust me. Sorry.
I mean, I guess I theoretically could like print it on a CD or put it on a fucking USB, but why the hell would you want to do that? Sizzy, where can people find you on the digital internet?
Well, they can find me in the digital space on X at the Joe Sizzy. and also on YouTube at The Joe Stizzy. So, but warning, I'm not uploading a lot because I'm playing Oblivion and Clair Obscur, and I'm not streaming either of those because I can't link my account to YouTube. So, I'm playing them for me. They're just all for me.
Yeah, fuck you, audience. Sometimes we play games for ourselves. Sizzy, the game I've been playing the most this week has been fucking Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. I've not said a word to you about this or the audience, because that's just for me, and also it's going to be hard to explain.
Yeah, it's probably best you keep that to yourself. No, I got another against Grand Blue. I don't understand it. It's kind of like Fate Stay Night. There's just so many different types or iterations of it. I can't keep track.
I am on the internet at LuckyJarson on X. And again, I can't ever remember to upload the YouTube thing, but I promise I will eventually. Thank you for listening. Farewell, Skype, you fucker.
Yep, Skype, it's been not nice knowing you. We'll be not seeing you. Take care.
Bye.